Good afternoon. Welcome to Rancho Marietta Community Service District. Regular board meeting Wednesday, September 18th, 2024. It is 1600 hours or 4 p.m. We'll call the meeting to order. Amelia, please.
Director Booth is not here. Absent. Director Butler?
Here.
Director Jacob?
Here.
Director Beatty?
Here.
Director Cole?
Here.
Thank you.
Item two, consider adoption of the agenda for the board. You have a document in front of you that was just placed there. It's from Tapmaster Incorporated. Amelia, I would like to add it after item 13. So this would now become item 14. And we'll just make a correction all the way down, please.
Okay. And the item is
really
for?
It's for emergency repair Yellow Bridge.
Thank you very much, sir.
Yellow Bridge.
At this point in time, staff and the board are going to go into closed session. We have
if I'm whoa. Not a bother, can we please have a motion for the adopt the agenda?
Well, also we need to declare that it's an emergency.
Oh.
It came up after the posting of the agenda.
Thank you.
Two-thirds vote to add it to the agenda.
Thank you. So we're still on item two. I'll make a motion to add this to the agenda since it's an emergency repair or is identified by staff as such. It will turn into a resolution, thus requiring a two-thirds. Amelia? Oh, actually, I need a second.
Okay.
Second.
Thank you, Director Maybe and Director Janko. Roll call vote. I won't call for Director Booth again. Director Butler?
Yes.
Director Janko?
Aye.
Director Maybe?
Aye.
And Director Cole?
Aye.
Okay, thank you very much.
If you'll let me go to number three now, Amelia.
Yes,
okay, thank you. Closed session, we have two items, 3A, conference legal counsel anticipated litigation, and then 3B, public employee performance evaluation. I do anticipate us coming out by 1700, 5 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
If we're pushing it, I will let you know, but otherwise a 5 o'clock starts what I anticipate.
And let's backtrack. We never formally adopted the revised budget with that.
No, no, the agenda.
Agenda. with that added item, yes.
Okay, so Amelia, don't let me go to item three.
Please don't.
I'm going to stay on item two.
Do you want to just start the recording over?
No, I think those that are listening will get a kick out of this. They'll just think it's an absolute hoot. So I need to make a motion to adopt the agenda with the addition of
14A.
Or item now 14, which will be emergency repair for the Yellow Bridge. I make that motion. Can I have a second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Director Maybe and Director Butler. Roll call vote. Director Butler?
Yes.
Director Jacob?
Aye.
Director Maybe?
Aye.
Director Cole?
All right. Papers.
And now you are free to go to look closer.
No, I'm going to stay on item two. I'm not moving.
Not yet.
Yeah, we're going to go to closed session, as I stated earlier, 3A, 3B. I do anticipate being out by 5. Thank you, Amelia.
Thank you.
Thank you. We're at item 4, report out from closed session. Discussion with legal counsel, no decisions were made. Direction was given to staff. Moving on to item 5, before I make a motion, any board members want to pull or discuss consent items or on the consent calendar? Not seeing any, I make a motion to.
Is that? Do you want us to tell you whether we can come or not to these meetings?
We're on number 5, consent calendar.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah.
If we don't have anything to, okay. I make a motion to accept the consent calendar. Can I have a second, please?
Second.
Thank you, Director Maybe and Director Jacob. We'll call Director Butler.
Yes.
Director Jacob?
Aye.
Director Maybe?
Aye.
Director Paul?
Aye.
Thank you.
Thank you, Amelia. Item six, meeting dates and times. I see where we've got some changed proposals. I would just ask committee members work back through staff to confirm those dates. Otherwise, our next board meeting is the 16th of October at 5 o'clock. Amelia, I did not see any correspondence.
No, sir, there was no correspondence.
I can't make the communication.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Item eight, comments from the public. These are comments that are not on board agendized items. Individuals have 3 minutes. Those representing groups have 5 minutes. Do we have any?
No, sir, I don't have any public
comments. That's disappointing. Moving on to staff reports. Staff report, General Manager Mimi, please.
Okay, thank you. So we've been recruiting for the Director of Operations, and we had first round interviews on September 6th, and second round interviews actually today, and we hope to be through reference checks and get the position filled by early October. As part of the transition to new leadership, Mark Matalich and Donna McLeod sat down with every operations employee during the past month and had in-depth conversations regarding strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats in the unit. Some immediate needs were identified, including the need for cleaner working conditions, filtered drinking water, properly maintained tools and equipment, better lighting, more clearly defined procedures, and safe vehicles. Investing in these areas will serve the community in the long run. So whoever's chosen will have his or her hands full. Ensuring water quality and access. The IWMP consultants are still working on the final draft report, which is a detailed document that includes their methodology and calculations. We've been expecting this report since mid-July and regret that it is taking so long to be received. We anticipate a technical review assessment before making any formal decisions regarding the report and its recommendations. And I received a communication today that suggested they would be done by the end of the month. So we'll hopefully have that by then. Regarding security, we have a new approach to security logs, but due to other priorities, we didn't get that rolled out. We didn't get to train the patrol officers. So we're hoping to have that done in another couple of weeks. We also shared a proposal to improve the security program with the personnel committee meeting this morning. The essence of the proposal is to return to 24/7 patrol coverage, and the proposal also includes ways to fully recover costs and utilize technology more effectively. And gate officer David Labrato has been elevated to interim sergeant to oversee scheduling and day-to-day security operations. And then an additional part-time former employee in security, gates, and patrol has also been brought on to assist in a limited-term capacity with implementing the proposed changes.
So there's still not going to be a chief?
No, we removed the chief from the security unit budget in early June.
And so we didn't change that. And so tell me again how this is going to work.
That is an entire topic on the agenda that we can go into more detail on then. I have a category here called strengthening financial position. Of course, we're in the 24-25 fiscal year, which started on July 1st. We requested a suspension of Finance Committee meetings back in June in order to focus more on the outstanding audits. So the quarterly Finance Committee meetings will resume on October 16th, with year-to-date fiscal year results for 24-25. And staff is working on the audits for 21-22 and redoing all the accounting. The experience of the 2021 audit revealed significant deficiencies in accounting practices in prior years, and after careful consideration, the decision was made to repost all financial transactions from those years. This will result in clearer and cleaner accounting records and will be more efficient as staff will not have to spend time attempting to unwind what was done in the past, which ultimately was the cause of significant delays in the 2021 audit. There were older systems no longer in use that were in play in 21-22, so that has required gaining an understanding of how these systems work. These include Utility Star, which was the precursor to the utility billing software, and Paymentus, which was the then-used credit card payment system. The knowledge gained in these efforts will help with the 22-23 audit, but the work of learning how these legacy systems worked has been a major undertaking. But this investment of time will be valuable going forward for the next audits. Closing out the next up audit year, 21-22, is also taking longer due to a lot of competing finance and admin priorities, cleaning up issues with the meters and billings, establishing day-to-day accounting procedures, working on developer issues, including uncollected connection and security impact fees, and reconciling developer deposits, tackling neglected operations issues like ensuring allowable and full use of grant funding before their expiration, and handling security unit issues. Mark really got his hands full with the admin umbrella there. There's a lot of things that he's assisting with. Talking about the situation with the accounting records is a good precursor to talking about the accounting system in general. We had a call with the district's utility billing software vendor about two weeks ago, and this was Tyler Technologies. We were trying to get a download in Excel of a report to be able to use for our monthly accounting entries, and we were told that they could only provide PDF versions to us because we had never converted over to their financial system. So the effort of rekeying transactional data from a PDF report is a very inefficient process, and it opens the door for, you know, all sorts of errors from miskeying and omissions of data. And Tyler is just one of the peripheral systems that we use that does not interface with the legacy Great Plains accounting system that is the district's current system. And there were plans about 2 years ago to actually transition over to the Tyler Technology financial system, but then that was postponed because there were not sufficient staff on board with expertise in accounting, and so the financial was never done, and utility billing came in first, and then it was postponed when Mark started so that he could get a better understanding of what the lay of the land was with regard to the accounting system. And both Mark and I reviewed a demo of another system that we think will probably serve the organization better than Tyler. And so we're pursuing that because the lack of fund accounting in the current Great Plains software, coupled with this incompatible peripheral systems, is the key contributor of the accounting challenges the district has faced over the past several years. And these disconnects on all the systems include the limitations of Great Plains. It doesn't do fund accounting, and that created a variety of workarounds that didn't pass on from one staff member to another as there was that period of high turnover in the organization a few years back. And then Tyler has a policy, I guess, of not providing information in Excel in order to force utilization of their general ledger system. So that's problematic. And then we have another software called Estiva, which is also not very user-friendly and does not integrate with the Great Plains program. And then finally, the Paychex system, which is the automatic payroll system, does not interface with the Great Plains general ledger. And so posting all of those transactions, it's very onerous and manual. So We're looking into a comprehensive accounting package, accounting software package, which does fund accounting and incorporates all of these aspects of the overall system of utility billing and GL, AP, AR, and payroll in order to have that information be just resolved, because it's, I think, a huge amount of data. I think, Mark, you transport, or you copied over 7,000 transactions from just 21-22 in the last week, and so you're talking about a huge volume of data, and in a traditional accounting unit, you have a good system in place that just makes all that happen behind the scenes, and so that's what we're trying to get to on that. I don't know if you want to make any additional comments on the accounting system needs, Mark, or if that...
That covers it, yeah.
Okay. All right, and then on grants, I don't have any grant news other than that we plan to submit a request for federal funding for leak detection, and that's due in about 6 weeks. And then we have a new contract report that'll be posted to the website and updated each quarter as a way of providing transparency regarding the use of district financials. And then regarding development, we've got a one-pager development report that shows just the lots that were included in the 670 FSA and shows the ones that were canceled, the ones that were connected, and the ones that are planned. This is largely the same as last month following the approval of those will serves. The only caveat that I would make on this is that this includes several lots that were originally part of the 670 FSA, and that's how you get to the 670 lots. But in the final rendition of the 670 FSA, the Murrieta Gardens residential and non-residential were removed, but they're included in here just for legacy purposes so they can make the count. But I'll probably remove those from future development reports. And then lastly, there is a report of public inquiries that shows that we've had 18 public inquiries in the calendar year 2024, and these are sorted by their type with PRAs up at the top, and then board meeting questions and other questions. And I'm happy to answer any questions anyone might have.
I'll open it up to the board. I'm not seeing any. Could you go over the accounting system issue again?
Sorry.
I did not know that if we did not use the Tyler complete package, that we were restricted on access. That I do not ever, in my memory bank, remember that being an issue. I thought we would be able to get that access to us. So I can see where that's just a monumental issue, and it might be a non-starter.
Yeah.
So I see why you're going where you're going. That just jumps out at me. Yeah, it's one of those.
I had a quick question,
yeah.
Mark. I don't remember exactly what the timetable was for getting the rest of the audits finished. Are you on target, or are we?
So that's a good question. So on target. So there's 21-22 needs to be done, 22-23, and then 23-24 we just finished. Okay, so... And then there's two parts to this, right? There's, and I know that audit is kind of the term that's used, right? And it's probably because I think the audit for 2021 took a year and a half. But that's really not the way audits are supposed to work, right? Like, the accounting is supposed to be done and be done correctly. And then the auditors come in and they spend about 3 weeks doing the audit,
right,
and then it's finished. So right now we're working on the accounting,
mm-hmm,
and so I threw out a proposed schedule a couple of months ago that had us finishing through 23-24 in like the April, May timeframe, okay? So I still feel like we can achieve that April, May timeframe. It's just this first year, 2021-22, is just taking longer than we anticipated, because when we opened up the books, right, and we did some very preliminary steps, the first thing that you would do is you run what's called a trial balance, and that gives you just all the accounts and the balance in them at the end of the year, right? So if you remember, the big issue that took months and months and months and months and at least one consulting firm and a retired annuitant and everything else, right? Like, that was this audit clearing account that had this balance in it, okay? And I think it was $123,000, at least when I started.
Right.
Okay, so ran the trial balance for 21-22. Looked at it. That specific account had about $500,000 in it, okay? And that account was like a parking ground for one-sided journal entries, right? So basically, like, I know this should go here, but I don't know where the rest of it goes, so I'm just going to park it over here and figure it out later. So that was the balance in that account. Each fund, and we've talked about this, right? When we do the when we did the budget, we talked about it. When we finished the audit for 2021, we talked about it. Each fund is like its own separate business, right? And the financial transactions need to be recorded in each fund like they're their own business. And so every business in your accounting records, the debits and credits, they have to balance, okay? And this was an issue when I started here and we were wrapping up the 2021 audit. None of the funds were in balance when I came in here for the 2021 audit, right? Well, same thing. None of the funds were in balance in 21-22 when we ran that initial trial. So none of the funds are in balance, okay? That means there's money that's in transactions that are commingled between the funds. So you have to unwind that. That audit clearing account had $500,000 in it plus. And then the thing that was really shocking was the district's books for 21-22 didn't balance in total debits and credits, which is like impossible, okay? And it's because you've got this other entity, the CFD 2014-1. This should be a separate entity, but the way that the accounting records are set up is it's just another fund that's kind of tacked in, and there were some admin fees, which isn't a big deal, but there were some admin fees paid out of the CSD checkbook to cover CFD admin fees, which, again, not a big deal, and it could be a do-to-do from, and you can make it whole. Lots of places do that, but just nobody knew, and we had to go back and kind of unwind it and figure it out, and then now the books balance in total, which is right, but just those are the kind of things that we, you know, we put that schedule out as we were finishing up the audit, and then we dove in and we see these issues and we're like, oh my gosh, okay, so what are we going to do? Are we going to figure all this out, or are we just going to start over? And so we decided we're just going to start over. And so that's going to take a little bit extra time. Then we had to work with the Great Plains software person to start a brand new general ledger, brand new accounting record, split those two companies apart. So everything we're doing now for 21-22, it's taking longer than just like 3 months. But now there's going to be a clean set of books. It's going to be done right. We're going to have a process that then we can apply to the 22-23 transactions. And we're writing all kinds of scripts on the back end of the system to pull transactions over. So Mimi mentioned we just pulled over 7,000 transactions out of the, you know, basically the accounts payable system, the checkbook. And so that took several meetings and a lot of figuring out how to do it, but now we have a process for it, right? So when we go do that for 22-23 and 23-24, we don't have to do all that upfront work. We just run the report and post it. So I still think we can meet the time frame to get all of it done April, May, but just this first year is going to take a little longer because there's a lot of figuring out to do and a lot of groundwork to lay.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you for the abbreviated answer.
Sure.
No, that was
the abbreviated answer. Yeah.
my bad on that one. Anything else?
No, I was just curious about.
That's a great question. Anything else on the GM's report? Mimi, thank you. Utilities.
Good afternoon. Thank you. We'll start off at the water treatment plant. Both plants are currently in operation, and we're producing about 2.7 million gallons a day to meet demand. Water consumption as of September 1st, 2024, total water production for 2024 is 369 million gallons or 1,132.8 acre feet. As of August 28th of 2024, the total water currently stored in Clementia, Chesbrough, and Calero is 1,093.7 million gallons or 3,357 acre feet. Down at the bottom, we have the wastewater storage that's available for production. We're down to about 52 million gallons as of the first of the month. We've been having, there's been a lot of issues on our side and on the country club side of getting recycled water over to them, broken pipes on their side and on our side. So they're up and going now, so we're transferring water across the street, and we'll be hopefully going to Bass Lake next week. So,
Travis?
Yes.
Oh, sorry. I didn't know you. Are you finished? I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Please.
I'm never letting this go. So,
yes, ma'am.
Total of raw water reservoirs. Clementia is not a raw water reservoir, is it?
It's not potable, so, and it's not recycled, so it would be raw.
Yeah.
It's drainage water, right?
But it's still raw water. It's untreated.
Yeah.
So, and I'm still not happy that we aren't doing that separately. I'm just letting you know.
Yes, ma'am.
Actually, I should probably look around the table. Okay?
Okay, ma'am. The next pages are the graphs. The first one is the pumping from Calero versus the flow. That hasn't changed and won't change until we start pumping again November 1st. And then you have your five-year graphs for the storage for Chesbrough and Calero and for Clementia. The 33-inch broken line, I know you're going to be talking about moving that forward later on, but as it sits right now, they've got the flanges put in and welded, and they will be bringing the piece to fit in Friday, is what I was told, and then which ultimately will probably be Monday. And then they're going to bolt it all up, and we're anticipating pumping to check to make sure there's no leaks by Thursday of next week. This 9/16 date that's on here at the time of the report was written was the time they ran into some issues with getting some of the stuff for the inside of the pipe and you know, just things happening, and so it kind of set them back. But we're still on track to be able to test before the end of October, because we have to because of the Grand Lease project.
Understood.
So the wastewater facility, the tertiary process, as of today, we are running at about 0.9 million gallons and currently sending water across the street to the golf course. Our current average influent flow for April was 0.375 million gallons a day. The utility activity report for August 2024, they had the Tyler work orders generated at the front office. They had 12 work orders for the month of, I'm sorry, that says July, it should be August, I apologize. The work orders are there for final reads, meter swaps, high water usages, and stuff like that. We USA'd 11 field markings, and most of those were for our own water leaks. We had a massive amount of water leaks last month. Several of them we had to come in on Saturday or Sunday because of they were in the pressure system and they were just erupting out of the ground. And so we were just thankful that they were just service lines and not sewer mains. We are still doing some jetting and looking for the NASCO rating for the sewer line in the Dela Cruz area. So that's also moving forward. The 23-24 capital improvement projects is currently and up to date. I have not started the 24-25. I'm still trying to unravel some of the things that how Michael set that up. But we are currently up to date on this one. I have two invoices that I have to apply to the 24-25. The SB 170 projects, the water treatment plant hypochlorination conversion, there's been no change. The recycled water disinfection project here at the wastewater plant. Dewberry, we just posted the bids today. Dewberry, and then they're scheduled for a walkthrough. That got changed to the
25th.
We are still scheduled on schedule to get the bids back by October 3rd, so that Director Pohl and myself can review them and hopefully bring them to the Improvements Committee on the 8th, and then for approval to the board next board meeting. The Granley safety improvement, right now all of the work is being done in there at their shop and NMI, their powder coating parts, fabricating stuff, and they intend to be out the last week of this month to do a few things, but mostly the first week of October to start reinstalling the beams and the valves and stuff like that. I've been in contact with the ranchers to coordinate water being shut down so we don't have to rent a rain for rent pump, which could save us about $15,000. Understood. On that project. So ranchers are working with us very nicely on that too. Development, Mimi has made up that one sheet that has to, you know, that lists the development projects. For residents Marietta East and West, I was told the developers finished with the rough grading. Veerkamp has started doing the underground sewer line input throughout the whole development and started installing water main lines on 812. The sewer and storm drain system for the residents is estimated to be completed 9/27. They will be started. They're going to get starting on them, and Riverview are going to get started on installing their SWEPS program in preparation for the rain, so we don't have any pollution into our storm drains of runoff for the rain. And that pretty much finishes my report. That's the short version.
Travis, thank you. Board members, any questions of Travis? Mimi, do you
Travis, just curious, do we require our contractor to submit certified payrolls?
Yes, we do. And then we also, apparently the DIR website has changed, and so I had to resubmit for approval to do DIR numbers. And I'm waiting for the help desk because once they gave me access to it, it's completely different. I can't even find out where to enter in our projects. And so I've got an email out to the help desk for them to walk me through it.
So we submit those to DIR and they check them?
No, the employer, so the contractor submits them, and then they'll send us a copy just to have for our records. All we do is we give them the DIR number.
And DIR actually does the checking of the payroll.
That's my understanding. We don't do it here. They just they offer us a copy of it, and then I always say yes, just for records.
Okay.
Is that not an appropriate?
All the agencies that I work for require me to turn the certified payrolls into the agency, and the agency has someone that checks them.
To the best of my knowledge, we have not done that here. I've just supplied the DIR number, and when they send me...
We get copies of them.
Correct.
NMI
has asked me.
In your free time.
As soon as we're done here, I'll go back to my. No. But NMI has offered to send their payroll to us. I'm still, because they need that, but they need the DIR number, which I'm trying to work through the. Okay. You know how the state agencies are. So.
Any questions of Travis from the board?
Nope.
Mimi, do you have the CIP document in the screen?
I could get it for
a
little minute.
Nope, that's fine. So I'm not going to take up time. What I would ask, Mark, of you is under the financial software, here in that very brief report from the GM, my question is, are we any closer or do we need to redo that CIP? And my point being, if we've already spent 42% of that budget and we're going the wrong direction, does that need to be updated? So I don't need it. You hear what I'm saying? I think if we need to let finance know, that's all I have. Okay. Travis, thank you.
Yes, sir.
Item 10, consider revision to record retention policy resolution R2024-10. Go to legal counsel, sir.
There we go. Yes, thank you. Good evening. So, and hopefully this is actually good news where we'll try to stream our records retention policy. Our records retention policy was last adopted in 2015, policy 2015-08. The government code 60-201 provides how special districts can retain and destroy records. I was asked specifically to look at our policy in regards to personnel files, which in our policy that we've adopted, we treat as a permanent record, and therefore we've never destroyed personnel files. So we have files going back some 30 years from the beginning of the district. And looking at that, the government code lists certain records that need to be retained permanently, and that I've listed in the staff report. Personnel files are not one of them, so we looked at how long personnel files would need to be retained to be safe. And generally, under the government code, Department of Employment and Fair Housing, the labor code, and several federal regulations, we normally need to retain them 1 to 4 years. If someone's going to file an action, they need to file it with the Department of Employment and Fair Housing within 4 years. So I believe it would be safe for us to keep the records 4 years and then be able to destroy them at that point. The only exception to that is the actual payroll records, which CalPERS and Social Security requires that we keep for up to 7 years. So we would keep the actual payroll stubs, whatever, the payments to them for 7 years. In case there was ever a question from CalPERS or Social Security. And then, of course, we can also maintain the records in digital format, so we may want to look at eventually, after we destroy a good chunk of records for the last 30 years, look at digitizing some of the records that we are keeping so that we don't have to store them in a hard copy. What we need to do under the government code is adopt a resolution to adopt the policy. So I've included in the staff report and the agenda a resolution for us to adopt that makes the necessary finding that the destruction of disposition of the records will not adversely affect any interest of the district or the public, and that when we do destroy the records, this is one requirement, we do have to maintain a list by category of the records that we destroy or dispose that reasonably identifies the information contained in the records. So we need to list what we've destroyed so we'd have that. But in lieu of keeping hard copies of multiple pages and documents, we can destroy most of the records. So my recommendation is that we adopt the resolution, and I'm told that we're incurring a substantial cost to store all these records right now, and hopefully we could reduce our storage costs.
Thank you. I'll open it up to the board. Any questions?
No, seemed reasonable to me.
Yeah, it's nice to have it in order.
Okay. Thank you. I'll make a motion that we adopt resolution R-2024-10 as written and stated by staff. Can I have a second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Director Maybe and Director Butler. Roll call. Director Butler.
Aye.
Director Janko.
Aye.
Director Maybe.
Aye.
Director Cole.
Aye.
Thank you.
Item 11, consider approval of security program change and creation of community service officer classification. I don't know if that's to Mark, to you.
It's a joint effort, but I'm going to let Mark take the lead on that.
Mark?
Okay, thank you. Yes, so we're proposing to add a new position to the security department, and that position is community service officer. And what this position would do is this would be an unarmed patrol person to go ahead and be out in the community. And again, I mean, the security mission up to this point has been observe and report. And the big goal with doing a CSO or community service officer classification is to allow us to get to that goal of full coverage on patrol, and then obviously maintain full coverage in the gates. And this position will help us get to that. And so these are folks that are unarmed and they're out on patrol. They'll receive training in diffusing tense situations. They'll receive training in how to go in, out, and conduct a patrol. And this will also add deterrence to the security department mission. So up to this point, it's been observe and report, and we believe that deterrence is also a key objective and a key goal for security. And one of the best ways to deter bad actors from being out there doing bad things is to have a presence. And so getting back to full patrol out there is a great way to establish that presence back out in the community. The position, salary-wise, is 5% above the Gate Officer 2 classification, but it is 12% lower than the Patrol Officer 2 classification. So it provides a job ladder for folks moving up the ranks through the gates. But then it also helps keep costs down, which lend itself to getting back to that full coverage scenario.
How many of them are we thinking about hiring?
Well, so that's a good question. So we, for the mix, to get full coverage, we need 168 hours a week. So, you know, it would be four people plus, you know, an additional person. So right now we have two patrol officers. We have a sergeant position in the budget. So we would look to add one full-time, which is basically what's budgeted for, right? So we have two patrol twos right now. We have one interim sergeant. We plan on filling that sergeant position because that's the person that's going to be managing the day-to-day and setting the schedule for all of security. and making sure that policies are being followed and procedures are being followed.
And what are you calling them, a sergeant?
A sergeant, yes. And then we have a third open patrol position right now, but the thought is if this gets approved, we would likely try to fill that with a community service officer. One other advantage to this is that, you know, when we get back to full coverage on patrol, the first line of coverage for the gates, if somebody, you know, misses a shift for whatever reason, is to flex the patrol person over to cover the gates. So, I mean, again, having that will cut down on overtime costs. It'll cut down on risk of potentially not having a gate shift covered. So this provides us a lot of flexibility. One other thing it could do is if we do have gate officers, sitting in the gates all day long, every day, 5 days a week, it can be daunting, right? It's very repetitive. You know, you're isolated, you're there by yourself. And so, you know, this offers some opportunity if folks decide, hey, I'd like to just work one shift a week, maybe being out on patrol. They can get the training and they can look at the CSO as an opportunity to move up in the organization and then maybe have a break.
So we're going to start, maybe they already are, gate officers will be trained to also be patrol officers. Are they? No?
I wouldn't say that that's no. What we're going to do. We would open it up. And if there's folks that are interested in maybe pursuing the CSO position as they're open and available, then we could promote from within.
This is quite a job description. This guy's got to, or girl's got to walk on water.
It also opens up the pool of available candidates. You know, getting somebody in here that's got all the certifications for being armed and the background and the type of person that you would trust to be in the community in that capacity. It's not a big pool of candidates, right? And then this is somewhat of a more remote location. You know, this isn't downtown Sacramento.
Oh, yeah.
And so just this will open up the pool of candidates that are available to come out. And at the end of the day, just having that presence in the community is important. And that's going to do a lot more to deter crime or vandalism or whatever than really anything else.
I think it's a good idea. I just hope that we understand that a person with these qualities to be able to do this job are just as important as our patrol officers or our gate officers. This is a big job to be calm under under pressure, and there is pressure in this community at certain times. So they will. Do you have any idea of what kind of experience, degrees? What I mean. They didn't seem to have 2 years of experience performing security and or patrol-related duties. I don't know. I want somebody to have some social work experience or some kind of counseling experience or something.
Well, and we're looking into some possibilities for training, right? Because we want this to be a position that also draws people in, right, where they can grow personally and professionally, and so we're looking at training programs for diffusing tense situations, right? Or how to deal with and de-escalate,
right.
You know, a confrontation, and first aid, and all that kind of stuff. So that would definitely be part of the training protocol that we would set up.
Question I have, we're going to have to notify the union. I don't know if it's a meet and confer because it's a new position.
It's a new classification.
Right.
And then if we decide to change a position that's a patrol position to this, then we'd let them know. But I plan to sit down with our new representative to OE3 in the coming weeks. She and I have emailed already on this topic. So.
Okay. Would you get that name of the OE3 over to Director Janko, just in case they cross paths?
All right. I have the letter designated.
That's all I have.
I don't know where I got it, but I have it here.
Thank you.
I think.
Any other questions of staff? Then I'm going to make a motion that we give direction to staff for the creation of the community service officer classification. Amelia, can I have a roll call? I'm sorry, I need a second.
A second. Yes.
Thank you, Director Mabee and Director Holt. So that's for the creation of the classification. Are we including the approval of the new security program, sir?
I
don't know if you neglected that on purpose.
No, I didn't. So let me restate. My motion is consider approval security program change and creation of community service officer classification. Director Pohl, do you still second the motion?
Yes.
Thank you. Roll call, Director Butler.
Yeah. Yes.
Thank you, and Director Janko.
Aye.
Director Mabee.
Aye.
Director Pohl.
Aye.
Thank you.
Moving on to item 12, continuation of emergency repair leak. The pipe, Grand Liz, I know you touched on a little bit, Travis, but we'll take an update.
Okay, so as you're aware, we had a break in the pipe. Pictures there of what the actual break was. They have removed that section, and they have completed welding the new flanges onto the outer pipe. We're going to be, for that 10-foot section, we're going to be going from a 33-inch pipe to a 36-inch pipe for that 10-foot section. So they had to fabricate flanges that would slide into the 33-inch wall having flanges that are 36-inch from the pipe that we were able to find. So they did complete getting that welded in. They mortared it today. So their plan is to get the piece, because that had to be painted and some coating there had to some changes in the coating for availability, and all of that got done. So they're anticipating getting that out here this week. I'm going to venture to say it'll probably be Monday. And so we're still planning on getting it bolted in and testing it by late next week.
Okay. Board members, any question of Travis?
Did you get those pipes that you were hoping to get in Marysville or someplace?
We got the stick of pipe from there.
Okay, great.
Amelia, if you would agendize it for next board meeting as well, please carry this over.
Of course.
For those in the audience, item 13 has been modified. It's a consideration for emergency repair for the Yellow Bridge. It requires a resolution because it's above the GM's authorization by a couple of thousand dollars. So I'm going to turn the new item 13 over to you, Travis, please.
Thank you, sir. A couple of weeks ago, during our routine inspection of the lift station, every day when we check the lift station there at hole one, staff inspects the pipes. We have three pipes that go over the Yellow Bridge. Two of them, on one side we have two pipes, and one side we have the other. The side that has the two pipes, the bottom one is the raw sewage that comes from Maymouth North and 6B to the wastewater plant, and the top one is the recycled water line that goes from the wastewater plant to Bass Lake. And so we noticed that the rubber part of one of the expansion couplers was leaking. And so once we noticed that it was leaking, we started to find isolation valves. We found some valves that are not on any maps that we currently have. We even brought in Rob McLeod, who was the utility for many years, and we looked at plans. We looked at plans, I mean, original plans that are on rice paper, are original. They're not there. After spending a couple, we had TNT come in and tap a 2-inch hole on one of the downstreams of the pipe so that we were able to hook a fire hose up to it and drain and start draining it to the country club, to the golf course. And we got to where we thought we were just about drained, and that was on a Thursday, and we came back on a Monday and that pipe was completely full. I have every single isolation valve at the water plant, at the wastewater plant closed. We have a new valve that was put in for the infrastructure for Marietta Gardens to send water there. We think they put in the wrong valve because we think that it's not isolating. We think the chlorine has eaten up that. That's going to be a different thing, but we have no way of isolating that pipe. So after having a mental breakdown and texting Mimi with it, oh my God, I don't know what I'm doing. After I recovered from my mental breakdown, I got a hold of Josh from TNT because he was going to initially with our staff help us replace the expansion couplers because there's two of them on there. Right. The other one's starting to look bad, so we're just going to replace them both. Well, since the pipe filled up, his the only thing that we can think of since we can't isolate it is we have this company called Tapmaster, and apparently they're able to put in temporary water stops on both sides of the outer part above ground pipes, and they're going to come out. I have them scheduled in anticipation of you approving it because of the situation. I have them scheduled for tomorrow morning to come out, and it's going to take about 8 hours for them to install both of the water stops, according to Josh. Once we get those stopped, then on Friday, some of our staff will be working with some of Josh's staff to get the expansion couplers replaced. One of the reasons why I'm trying to get extra staff is this quote is only good for 24 hours from the moment they get it done, and it's $1,400 a day per machine if we go longer than 24 hours. So I continue to have a couple of Josh staff along with our staff that we have here on Friday to get the expansion couplers done. Once they get done, Tapmaster will come back out, and this is where I'm confused. I'm going to be interested to see. They're going to remove these temporary things. I'm kind of excited to see this work, but once they remove those and get it sealed back up, then we can get the water flowing again. And we'll talk on another year about a CIP project to put in isolation valve. Right now, we are leaking. And we have not gotten any of the recycled water into the river. I want to make that 100% clear. As of yet, we have not put any water into the river. We need to get this done before it gets worse and water does go into the river. And that's a whole other level.
Understood. Board members, questions of staff?
No, I'm glad you found somebody to isolate it.
Correct.
Maybe it's a diaphragm, inflated diaphragm.
I don't know. That they gave me the quote. I was talking with Ron, who's our utility supervisor, and he's like, yeah, this is new to me, so it's going to be interesting to see what they do. I'm trying to figure out how something's going to take 4 hours to set up. So I'll just sit there for 8 hours and watch them tomorrow.
There you go.
No, nobody call me.
Director Janko?
Take some pictures.
Because
I'm interested to see how they do it, too.
I'd invite you over to do some wrench turning if you like.
You got a torque wrench or just a regular?
I've got a crescent wrench with your name on it.
Is it a metric or is it?
Whatever he'll need to do.
So have you never seen the Flex Seal commercials where we could just use tape or spray it on?
First of all, I went and bought a stock in Flex Seal because
Understood.
We're going to try that.
No, thank you, Travis. So a point of order, we need a resolution. Does it go on to the next agenda? I don't have a, I want to take action.
I think we just need a resolution approving it, and then we'll ratify the resolution. We'll put it in writing and ratify it at the next session, next meeting.
Okay. Then I would make a motion that we have a resolution, and the number I'll need to get from Amelia.
2024-11. Just off the top of my head.
2024-11. I make a motion that we have emergency resolution R-2024-11 authorizing staff to move forward with the anticipated emergency repairs. We have an estimate of $28,000. I'll go not to exceed $30,000. That gets us by. So if I could have a second.
Second.
Thank you, Director Mabee and Director Butler.
Roll
call. Director Butler.
Aye.
Director Jacob.
Aye.
Director Mabee.
Aye.
Director Polk.
Aye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
No, thank you, Travis. Item 14, consider authorization comprehensive distribution system study proposal from Domenichelli and Associates. I don't know if that's to you or to...
You know, I can address that one. We discussed this in improvements this morning and decided to return it back to Domenichelli for addition of recycled water plan, and then we'll bring it back to improvements on the 8th of October and then back to the board.
We had some questions about his proposal, and so we're hoping to get Joe to our next committee meeting and get it squared away.
Thank you.
You know, he was on site when we were talking. I didn't even know that. I found out that he was actually on site doing for something else. So.
Item 15, consider approval bathymetric study for Clementia.
So I thought that got...
This was also part of the improvements committee, and the final determination was that it might be premature to actually do the study at this point until we find out about our ability to use any water from Clementia. So it was recommended to hold it over until more information is known about that as a potential backup water supply.
Okay.
I saw on a CIP list at some point that we had put aside $25,000 under Integrated Water Master Plan in case. And so that was in my thought process when I was asking for this. I was thinking it could get paid for by that.
We did have it, and I want to say we pulled it maybe two budget cycles ago, but you're right. Because we were doing all three reservoirs was the thought process. Mm-hmm. Well, we did them sequentially, but yeah, that was. But I do remember that getting pulled. So then, if staff would just table that, then to we'll just tie it to the Integrated Water Master Plan, please. So before I go to the next item, is anybody going to pull that from me, or can I? This will be item 16, consider proposal to perform maintenance at Lost Lake, or it would be retention basin 5, if I'm not mistaken.
And sadly, this one was also discussed in improvements, and there's a lot of pieces of that lake that are managed by different entities.
Correct.
RMA, RMCC, RMCSD.
None by RMA. I've already talked to Rod.
I got a text from Rod, and he specified an area that is their responsibility.
Amelia found an agreement between us that has responsibilities for both parties.
So we're gonna pull this one on you too, Tim. Sorry.
Well, at least you guys in improvement committee are consistent.
So nothing's gonna happen with this.
We're going to bring it back again to improvements after.
Do you have
the
pictures, Amelia?
I do have pictures. However, so let's have a look.
Oh, they're not very big. Yeah, that's what it looks like.
And then?
Yeah, another view. I can't believe we're 3 years into this, right? 3 years?
Well, actually, more than that, because the
20 years at least.
Yeah. Since I've been trying to get it done 3 years, yeah. 4 years.
Seriously, it's been. This has been.
Well, this is the closest we've gotten, so it'll go back to improvements.
The idea of coming up with a plan for shared responsibility, financial responsibility, and then one entity that would be responsible for doing all of the things that they're each. Now independently responsible for, but it's too muddied in terms of who does what.
I
agree. Want some clarity.
Okay.
My understanding, before you just told me that you got a memo from Rod. I talked to Rod 2 days ago, 3 days ago, and I said, "Help me understand exactly who does what when it comes to this basin." Mm-hmm. And he said, "We really don't have any responsibility." And so he said, "It's RMCC that has all the." all the weeds and trees and dead ones and everything around that area. And then CSD, of course, is responsible for the water. And
do you want me to pull that up super quick?
No, I believe you. Okay. I'm just telling you what I was told.
The water looks like it's shrinking.
It's covered with gunk, and it's...
Oh, is all this ground, the weeds that they're talking about?
I thought that was dirt.
No, that's just algae and all that stuff.
This is all...
It used to be green instead of brown. Now it's much lower. There's stuff growing in
it. I thought it was dirt.
No.
So
and it smells nice, too.
We're going to come back with a plan, because the... I think this has been talked about several times, at least in my year.
Yeah.
Mimi, practically 3 or 4 times in 3 or 4 months. I mean, I've brought it up over and over and over again, and if you get a plan, make sure that everybody signs on to it.
We will, and there was a prior agreement that Amelia found just in the last... a few minutes of our conversation about this morning, and I haven't even seen it yet, but we're going to go to that as a starting point and then build off of it and make sure that everybody has a clear understanding of what
right, because some of it will talk about who does irrigation, who does electrical, because it's very similar to Guadalupe.
It's even more complicated than that. It's splitting electrical costs, and it's when we made that agreement, I was chairman of the RMA maintenance committee, and I remember it. But Travis, you made a good point this morning. We can't treat that water, right? Because it's drainage water. We can't treat it for the weeds. Whatever we do, weeds are going to come back.
It's going to be an ongoing.
Do this again.
Yeah, it's going to be an ongoing thing that's going to have to be done. Once the initial cleanup is done, the ongoing should be minimal. But the major thing is getting the initial cleanup done. Since we can't
treat, since we can't do chemicals, it's going to have to be an outside maintenance thing.
No, understood. Okay.
I know. Typically, before it looked like that, it was green, and it had one sprinkler fountain, mm-hmm. and then I guess it had some bubblers. And I think that one is not adequate. I've looked.
There's three bubblers. There's three aerators in there. That's what the round things are.
Right.
The fountains don't work. Right. But one of the things that we talked that I was talking about, they're not working.
Oh, they're not working.
We were tasked with getting the aerators going to try to help with the septic odor.
Because the fountains were an RMA.
Right. And so
fountains are RMA.
One of the things that Solitude said that they can look at if we wanted to was getting fountains, either looking at the ones that are currently in there or giving us a proposal to put fountains in there. And they recommend minimum two.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Because when you drive into the south and you look on those two lakes, on little lakes on each side of, mm-hmm. of the street, one's got three, the other one has at least three, maybe four because it's a little bigger. And those lakes stay fairly clean. They get the green stuff on them, but the fountains seem to take care of it.
I would ask.
96 on the south,
16. Yeah. Yeah. I would ask you, you think of like the Bellagio fountains, something like that.
really? That small? I was thinking like they would hit Linda's house when they turned them on.
So this item.
Background music to go with.
Dancing bears and everything.
I'm going to try this again.
Okay.
Item 17, consider approval of water augmentation rate study.
Oh, we are already off of Solitude? We didn't make any.
Well, it goes back to improvements with the information, and then they're bringing it back to the board.
I want you to call Certifolk.
Who?
Certifolk. One of the people who lives here.
Oh, okay. So regarding number 17, adjusted from previously being number 16, the water augmentation fee rate study, this is a request for guidance and authorization from the board to pursue a study for the water augmentation fee rate. But
don't we have to wait for the master water plan to know what's being recommended before we can do a fee study?
That's probably a good idea. Yeah. So we're kind of 0 for 4 on these last few ones.
So then I would say staff, the term comes to my mind is we'll pull this and attach it to the integrated water master plan. Okay. And as we get that, then we look at this. As discussed earlier in closed session, I think we do look at what the annual rate increase is and if that's the minimum. And then I know that staff asked for some information from legal counsel, and maybe that drives us for the short term from that standpoint. Yes, Amelia.
I do have a public comment if you're ready to hear it, sir.
It's on item.
It's on the water augmentation fee, yes.
Okay. Before I get to it, Mr. Kyle, any questions or comments of the board? Mr. Kyle.
Thank you. When I saw that on the agenda, I mean, my initial question was, what are we comparing to as far as augmentation is concerned? So my question probably is to you, Patrick, is that when you raise the water augmentation fee, is that just based on the fact that you can or on what augmentation is going to cost?
It should be based on what the estimate of the augmentation. So we should have good estimates as to what we would be doing. Yes.
Okay. And so at this point, we have no idea what we're doing to augment the water, correct?
Yeah, and I think that's one of our concerns. We need to get more details as to exactly what we'd be doing. We should have a basically a CIP as to how those funds would be spent to augment the water
supply. So you wouldn't manipulate that fee until you knew what the augmentation plan was?
Until we could have good estimates, yeah.
Great. Now, it does go up by a CPI, those types of things. And so, again, we've given some direction to legal counsel for information, and that might be our sole driving factor. But coming out of the Integrated Water Master Plan, that's what's going to be giving us information.
So, and we want, I just want to be clear that we wouldn't have to have the water, what are we calling it, the Integrated Master Plan completed. But we need to, in the report that we do for the augmentation fee, we need to have in there what we're looking at.
What we talked about. And
so obviously the master plan could assist us, but yeah.
Part of that calculation would be how many houses are going to be built.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you address Rancho North? Because obviously if you don't include the whatever 561 or 697 or whatever number it is.
697.
Then the entire water augmentation goes on my 200 lots?
The denominator.
No, I mean, it's a concern, right?
Obviously, we'd have to talk to the consultant about the, you know, what would be the additional supply, the additional augmentation that would be needed based on the number of houses or projected houses that there are. So,
and so if there's, if the situation becomes where Rancho North is not going to happen, then there is no augmentation fee needed.
Well, we could still look at what we need to still increase for the current ones, but no, it would be a lot less.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
Item 18, consider approval increase to salary ranges for unrepresented classifications. Mimi.
So there is included in the pay for performance manual a requirement that every 3 years there be a salary survey, and we are out of sequence on that. I think the last salary survey was done in March of 2021, excuse me. And so this is a rough draft. We discussed this in personnel as well, and the recommendation from the committee was to take it back and work on it a little bit more before bringing it back for action, actually. So we're going to pull that.
Right. In
it's our way of having the shortest meeting on record.
Right. So I'm going to throw something in there. When I was talking about it this morning, I saw it as a discussion item because I was going off the abbreviated and I didn't catch it was an action item. So that's where I didn't think we would take action. I guess my question to the GM, there's no fiscal impact. It ties us into policy and actually gives then the authority and the ability of the GM to operate within her realm for the pay for performance.
Increasing the ranges would? Yes, that's true.
Okay. Then I'm going to make a motion that we accept the salary ranges for the unrepresented classifications.
So the document that I that is prepared that's here, it shows a comparison of four different water districts that have varying percentage differences between each of the positions. And so there isn't a specific proposal included in here. I was leaving it kind of open to discussion about like what level of increase would be appropriate to move the range to, move the ranges.
Do we know if we, and I understand that, so is it a standardized 5%, 2% per step increase, or is it just vary per classification?
All of the step increases are at 5% per step.
Okay, then I would be compelled to continue with that process.
So you could say it could go up another two steps, you know, to increase the range, or three, or one, whatever, you know.
Right. I'll amend my motion to two salary increases of five per salary range, total of 10.
So 10 steps?
No.
Oh, sorry.
10%.
10%, okay.
2.5%.
2.5%, got it.
Right.
Okay. Okay. That's the motion.
So, could we? I have a comment, but somebody want to second it before we discuss it?
I'll second it.
Thank you, Director Mabee and Director Janko.
So is there a fiscal impact to there? Are people entitled to the step increases?
No, that is not my understanding that it's an automatic. What it does allow right now, if an employee or employees in this case are at the top step, they are not eligible for the pay for performance because they're maxed out.
So how do they get, there's a range of steps. How do they get from the first to the second to the third?
Passage of time and successful performance evaluations.
So
on their MSI.
So if they get an extra year of service and they've got a good report, they're going to go to this proposed new step?
That would be the fiscal implication. At their anniversary date, they would get that potential, yeah.
So that's something you'd have to budget for next year?
I did not think that. I thought it would be minimal or no fiscal impact.
But you can't have one without the other, can you?
Mm-mm. Yeah.
My other thought then, because basically what we're doing is just shutting all employees off if we don't do anything.
We'll shut them off from
the pay for performance. Right.
Because our policy says they're shut off? Is that why? Why couldn't we change that policy instead of changing the steps?
Yeah, you could change the policy. The pay for performance document is, in my opinion, ripe for a redo. Its last revision, I think, was in 21, in November, I think, of 21. And so there is a clause in there that we could change to eliminate that connection to the cap of the steps, you know, the maximum.
That sounds like what we're trying to accomplish.
Uh-huh. Right, in a roundabout way.
Yeah.
But there's also bit of the pay for performance which allows the general manager to, based on the goals and the evaluation, give a bonus at the end of the year to the unrepresented staff that's equal to like 6.5% of their pay.
Right. No, I understand
once
that.
Once they've reached their cap, their top step.
Then, okay. So, I think, is it tied to a calendar year or fiscal year?
It's tied to the evaluations that happen in April and then it comes in May.
Okay.
All the unrepresented staff happen in April.
Okay.
But I believe there is language that states that the bonus is only possible if there's room between the current pay and the maximum level of the classification.
Okay.
I'll have to bring it back.
So, yes, so we're going to take a vote on this, but I agree, Martin, we're trying to fix a policy issue by kind of doing this salary range. The salary range is pretty compelling information, but I think maybe the policy might be, even if it's just one or two sections of the policy that need to be addressed. And then I would ask staff to determine if there's a time limit, i.e. calendar year, or is it the fiscal cycle, or is it tied to, as Amelia was saying, evaluation cycle, then that'll tell us how quickly we have to move on the policy.
Okay.
If that makes sense. So there is a motion, second. We need to have a vote on that.
And what's the motion?
Yeah, what's the
right
motion?
Well, the motion was to go up 2 steps, maximum of 10.
Why don't you change your motion?
Well, I could poll that I won't even make the motion because I'd rather it be addressed in policy format. But I don't know if we could pull it. Hell, we pulled everything else. if we can allow me to pull the motion, then I'm not even going to make a motion on this.
Yeah, you can withdraw your motion.
Okay, I'm going to withdraw my motion for an increase. And I'll look for consensus of the board to give direction to staff to review the policy and then bring it back to personnel committee.
And I would recommend, to be consistent with the pay for performance manual, that we also get the salary schedules down the road. But perhaps I'll bring back a comprehensive recommendation on the pay for performance manual, which
Perfect.
Would include that.
Understood. Okay, so we pulled that one. Nice, strong work. Discussion item, which is now 19, Marietta Village Water Supply Lines District versus private water lines. I don't know if that's Travis, GM.
So let me start on this one. And I apologize in advance because this is like the last one that follows the same pattern of recognizing that there's a lot more to the story and that we need to come back with a full report that details out the history of the water lines that are underneath all of the homes in the villages, and look at also the CIP from several years back and what the intent was on that one, and then look at the distinction on of those particular connections that include multiple houses as opposed to a single connection on which the code is written. So this is a unique situation, and I think that the letter that was written back in November that was precipitated by a break that was actually under somebody's home then led to a response that was based on a single home to main connection, and in the villages it's a service line to many homes, and so it's a different ball of wax in terms of how the responsibility exists. So recommendation from the improvements committee was to go back and then pull together all this history and then come back with a more comprehensive explanation of everything that exists out there and then bring it forward for a conversation about how to proceed in the best way in order to ensure ease of fixes going forward. And then there was also the potential for an interim policy to provide relief to any homeowners who were potentially impacted by the situation as it currently is, with the connections being primarily in difficult to reach spots. And I don't know if I captured everything, Martin. Did I forget?
Wasn't there one other we were going to include sewer in addition
to
water?
Yeah, because there's actually multiple utility lines underneath everybody's homes over there, utilities including the sewer, the water, the telephone, electrical, all that. So it's kind of a spaghetti bowl underneath there. So.
No, I think it's totally appropriate to pull it. I would ask staff to contact that association manager and just give them an update, as well as that specific resident. And I don't remember the gentleman's name.
Mr. Schnell.
Thank you.
Yes.
'Cause I've had in the past a little bit of correspondence with him, but I think we update those two. Then obviously we'll get to the rest of the residents there, and just as you explained to us, here's where it's at, and then as it works through the improvements committee, then we can reach out to that association manager and have some further dialogue and then bring it to the board type of thing. That's great. What I would ask.
And there was another resident, too. He came to the same meeting that Mr. Schelt came to, but he didn't realize that he had to fill out a public comment card. So after the meeting, he said that his sewer line had broken and that he had incurred, I want to say, $5,000. I just recently had a public records request from him asking for any kind of document.
Perfect. So would you include him in this
okay.
as well?
Okay, yeah, Jay Posey.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you, Amelia, for that. Item 20. I don't know if your staff's going to pull this, but I'm going to move forward with it. I'm going to open it up to director's comments. I'll start with Director Pohl.
I have nothing to add. Thanks.
Director Butler?
No.
Director Janko?
I do not have anything.
I have the standard, and it's sincere to staff. Thank you at all levels. Just explaining a simple question that Director Butler had on, are we on target with audits, right, in the monumental task? So, and Travis, dealing with these emergency repairs. So, again, I appreciate all of staff. I make a motion to adjourn the board meeting.
A second.
Thank you, Director Mabee and Director Hall. I'll call Director Butler.
Yes.
Director Jacob?
Aye.
Director Mabee?
Aye.
All right.
Thank you.
It's how we make.